Case number 01-7041 et al. McKesson Corporation et al. Versus Islamic Republic of Iran. Appellant Financial Organization for the Expansion of Ownership of Productive Units et al. Mr. O'Donnell for the appellant, Mr. Braven for the appellees.
May it please the court.
One second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay, Mr. O'Donnell, you're too young to have been in at the beginning of this, but I think all three of us up here have been here since the beginning of this. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Pat O'Donnell on behalf of Iran. Your Honors, we have an argument we think is rather simple and straightforward.
Good.
This case is governed by Iranian law. The Treaty of Amity provides the cause of action. As the court observed in McKesson 6, when speaking of interest and compound interest in particular, the treaty is silent here too. The treaty is silent on attorney's fees. But Iranian law is not silent on attorney's fees. There is a fee tariff. The fee tariff is by its terms mandatory. The fee tariff says it shall apply. It clearly applies to a case like this where the amount sought is uncertain at the outset of the case. And the tariff is specific. And one of the things that is not disputed in the case is that if the tariff applies, you can calculate the dollar amount of fees under Iranian law. In contrast, Your Honor, there's literally no support in the record for the proposition that Iranian law follows U.S. lodestar analysis, or that U.S. lodestar analysis is in some way like an Iranian rule of decision on attorney's fees.
Well, there is the word discretion in the Iranian law, right?
There is the pardon me, Your Honor?
The word discretion in, as far as interest, awarding interest.
Well, not in the fee tariff, Your Honor.
Oh, I know that. We've got to choose between one or the other. And what's your position if we say this isn't controlled by the tariff? As far as the discretion that's recognized in Iranian law?
Well, I, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the court's referring to Article 518. That's the McKesson expert cited Article 518 of the Iranian Civil Procedure Act as saying that where the amount of expenses or damages are not fixed in the law, then the tariff shall, pardon me, then the court shall determine them. Mm-hmm. I don't recall on the record anywhere where Mr. Katarai cites an Iranian clause that actually uses the word discretion, but that right. seems to embody the court's principle here. But that term, Article 518, on its face does not apply because it only applies where the amount is not fixed in the law or in a tariff. It specifically invokes the tariff, specifically says when there is no applicable law or tariff, right. then it's a matter of court discretion.
And why does the tariff apply?
Pardon me, Your Honor.
Why does the tariff apply?
Because the tariff is a law specific to attorney's fees and structured in a way that it covers, without exception, cases where the amount sought is uncertain at first. And that's clearly what this case is. Matter of fact, McKesson has conceded that in its briefing. And so that the 518 discretion, if indeed it is discretionary, simply never comes into play. Your Honor, the other error made by the court below was the provision of what is essentially interest on top of the attorney's fees. There's no room for dispute that the enhancement given by the court was an interest enhancement. It was specifically said to account for the loss of time value of money. And as with lodestar analysis, there's literally no support.
If you're right about controlling the tariff, do we even have to reach this issue? Doesn't this issue depend on the underlying award?
I think that's right, Your Honor. I think if the court holds the tariff applies, it need not reach it. I point out, however, that even if there was some ambiguity about the tariff, mm-hmm. There's no support separately for interest on top of attorney's fees. In fact, even McKesson's expert, although he calls for interest generally, never calls for interest on top of attorney's fees. And for the exact same reasons that this court observed in McKesson 6, Iranian law bars damages based on damages arising from damages. So while holding that the tariff applies resolves the case, even if the tariff didn't apply, the interest portion of the award is independently clearly contrary to Iranian law. Now, Your Honors, the case as we see it is quite clear. Even if it were not clear, Iran, as a sovereign construing its own law, is entitled to some degree of deference. This circuit has never held specifically on the question. I don't think it matters at the end of the day what degree of deference it is, whether it is held to be conclusive, as in Pink, or whether it's something akin to Chevron deference. If the court finds any ambiguity, deference under any standard would tip it fairly clearly in Iran's favor. Your Honors, even if Iranian law didn't apply, the decision below is independently erroneous because the court failed to apply Hensley analysis. There is no measurement of the fees sought compared to the success obtained. That analysis is missing from the opinion. Unless the court has some questions for me, I'll sit down and reserve the balance of my time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Braven?
May it please the Court, Mark Braven for Appellee McKesson Corporation. I was here at the beginning and have lived through three decades of litigation in this case. I can say with confidence that the district court properly concluded under Iranian law that its exercise of discretion to award attorney's fees is not governed by any mechanical formula. The Iranian bar fee tariff does not apply here. And the court's exercise of discretion was appropriate. Iran, in fact, has not argued that the court abused the fundamental doctrines of Iranian law that are well explained by McKesson's expert, Mahmoud Katirai. And those fundamental doctrines predate the Civil Procedure Code of 2000, and they apply in any case, including this one, where the arguments by appellant do not focus on any particular law, statute, legal authority of any kind to show that the tariff has any relevance here.
Well, what's your response to their argument about Article 518?
Article 518 gives the trial court discretion to determine the amounts at issue here unless there is a law or a tariff.
Or a tariff, and they say here there's a tariff, end of case.
Yeah, that is the assertion of Iran's lawyers in this appeal, and in the earlier years, the first 21 years of this litigation through two fee petitions, Iran did not mention the tariff, and the reason it didn't mention it is because it hadn't occurred to Iran to raise it. Iran's pattern of argument throughout all of the Iranian law issues that this court has had to confront and decide has been to come up with new ad hoc arguments at every step of the way. This is just one more. Iran's expert starts his opinion by saying that the Treaty of Amity controls.
Did we award, I'm sorry, I'm confused. Maybe I should know the answer to this, but in the earlier go-rounds, were fees awarded?
Fees were awarded for the first 14 years of litigation in the November 2003 decision by Judge Flannery.
Each and that's been up here, hasn't it? Isn't that Iran's response, that's been held?
The November 2000 fee award was immediately appealed, but the appeal was stayed as Iran continued to litigate the merits of the dispute.
Right.
So although the appeal has been before the court for 14 years, there's been no argument or briefing until this round.
Maybe I misheard Mr. O'Donnell, but I thought I heard him say you conceded the tariff applies.
Absolutely not, Your
That's
Honor.
That's what I thought.
McKesson has consistently relied on the Iranian law explication by its expert, Mahmoud Khatirai, and Mr. Khatirai found no precedent, no authority, nothing in Iranian law to indicate that the tariff would apply to a case of this kind. Even if the case were heard before an Iranian court, the fact that counsel that expended the fees and that McKesson paid are not members of the Iranian bar is, in our view, dispositive, and in fact, it's a concession in Iran's brief. These are rules of conduct for members of the Iranian bar, and Iran's concession is that in an Iranian court, unless the members of the bar have complied with other Iranian bar rules, the tariff does not apply. There is nothing in their briefing to indicate that the tariff would ever apply to foreign lawyers, and there is nothing in their brief to indicate that it would apply to proceedings in a foreign court. It really makes no sense for bar rules in a local jurisdiction on the other side of the world to be governing procedural rules here. This court is governed by its own procedural rules, and there's nothing in the bar tariff or in anything that Iran's expert has referred to that would support
Article 518 doesn't say anything about that. Article 518, they argue, is a generally applicable law. It says where the damages are not fixed in the law or official tariff, then the court has discretion. But there's nothing in here about it says tariff. There's nothing in here about this applying only to Iranian lawyers or anything like that.
The starting point for the analysis is before Article 518. It's with Article 515. That's the foundational provision of the Civil Procedure Code, and it is the one that lays out the principle that the prevailing party is entitled to an award of fees and costs in the litigation. As Mr. Khatirai explains, before this code was enacted for a period of something like 11 years, there were a series of Iranian court decisions awarding fees on the basis of the Iranian doctrines of Tazbib and Lazarar. Mm-hmm. These doctrines are designed to fairly treat the aggrieved party in the event of a successful decision on the merits. So Article 518 has to be read in light of these foundational principles. In other words, there's no basis to assume that there is an applicable tariff or law. If there is an applicable tariff or law, and that is Iran's burden, which it has failed to meet, then that tariff would govern. But in the absence of such proof, the foundational principles govern, and Article 515 and 519, which describes the scope of what is awardable in a case of this kind, are what prevail.
But as I understand it, you agree that Iranian law controls.
Correct.
All right. And you agree that you have the burden of proof to show your entitlement to these fees, correct?
That's correct.
So you have to show, and you're relying solely on your expert witness, is that correct, in terms of saying that the tariff is inapplicable?
The district court relied on the presentation of both sides' experts. In the footnote on page 6, footnote 4 of Judge Leon's opinion, Judge Leon explains that he has considered the relevant pages in the record, that's 515 to 519 of the joint appendix, 514 to 516, and in those pages, Mr. Khatirai explains why Iran's expert and his assertion that the tariff applies is simply incorrect. The judge weighed the competing views and sided with Mr. Khatirai and with McKesson. Now, this court has looked at a similar issue in the last appeal in McKesson 6. In fact, that issue came up in McKesson 3. Iran asked the court to look at the treaty as the foundational basis for a cause of action, and we agreed it was. But Iran took the extra stretch of saying, and further, the treaty as a matter of Iranian law can only be applied in an Iranian court. This court in McKesson 3 rejected it. In McKesson 6, the court went into great detail and concluded that in the absence of something explicit, to support Iran's assertion of an Iranian exclusive forum law, the court will look at the purpose and effect to be given to the treaty. We ask you to do the same thing here. The purpose and effect are described in the foundational legal principles, which are to fairly compensate the aggrieved prevailing party. If Iran were correct, if the tariff were to apply, what we'd see here is a 99.8% reduction in the fee award granted by the district court. In other words, going back to Judge Flannery's decision in 2000, at that point, McKesson would have used up all of the fees that Iran contends are available under Iranian law and would have been litigating from then forward without any possibility of recovery.
Well, that's how it works in this country.
No, it sure doesn't work that way at all.
In our country, under the American law, if this case had proceeded against Iran under U.S. law instead of Iranian law, there would be no basis for a claim of fees, would there?
American law says that when the case proceeds under foreign law...
No, that wasn't my question.
I understand.
But the question is, if you proceeded under U.S. law against Iran, U.S. law, if D.C. law were somehow applicable...
You're correct, Your Honor.
You wouldn't get fees.
Yes, if we were proceeding under D.C. law, that would not be an issue.
Right, so what's a little strange to me is that you're proceeding under Iranian law. Iranian law allows fees and has a tariff. But your argument is that the court should, instead of using the tariff, use U.S. standards for awarding fees in case which, if it had proceeded under D.C. law, you would not get. Right?
Your Honor, that's not a correct statement of McKesson's position. McKesson's position is that Iranian law sets the ground rule, which is that fees are awardable. There is the possibility of an exception. It is Iran's burden to prove that the exception applies, and they haven't met it. They waived the argument for the first 21 years of the litigation, and then when it occurred to them that there might be an argument here applying the tariff, they presented an expert opinion that flip-flops, first saying that the treaty governs the award of fees, and then saying, oh, yes, there's a tariff. But there is no authoritative statement of Iranian law that any tariff is applicable here. And the district court, looking at the expert's opinions, found that the explanation by Mr. Khatirai was not only plausible, but it was supported by credible evidence. Iran's expert cannot meet that test. Knowing nothing about Iranian law, the court might say, well, it's plausible that there's a tariff. But then turning to the second two prongs of a determination of this kind, the court has to say, well, what evidence did Iran present that there is a tariff applicable here? The answer is none. And how credible is the testimony or the opinion of its expert? And the answer is it's not credible. This court has already looked at that type of testimony by the same expert and has rejected it on the grounds that the expert said, for example, that there is an Iranian law that requires McKesson to come to the company to get its dividends. The court said that's incredible. It's confusing. It makes no sense. The same expert said that there is an exclusive forum provision under Iranian law. If all it took was for Iran to say there is a tariff or there is an exclusive forum requirement or there is a come to the company requirement, the case would have been over years ago. But in fact, that's not the standard to apply here. The court needs to examine carefully the basis of Iran's assertion and find that there is no basis.
How about your burden of proof as far as if we find no tariff applicable, the addition of the enhancement, the hourly rate, and so forth?
If the court finds the tariff is inapplicable, the broad issue is discretion. And Article 518 of the Civil Procedure Act, as well as the underlying doctrines, provide that it is for the court to determine. So in other words, the standard of discretion, although the word discretion doesn't appear in the statute, is the same as it is here. As to the argument
about... We have, you know, in the absence of a fee-shifting statute, as Judge Tittle said, you wouldn't get anything. So when you take the discretion that is let's say, implicit in Iranian law, it seems to me that you are engrafting, well, you're not engrafting American law. What I don't see how you get from the discretion that is mentioned in Iranian law, if the word isn't, the idea is, into the hourly rate and the enhancement that the lower court gave you.
Mr. Petiray, in his second supplemental opinion, explains this point, which is that the court's obligation applying the foundational principles is to make the aggrieved plaintiff whole. So any fees that are reasonably incurred in prosecuting the claim are reimbursable. The fact that McKesson paid these fees over the past 30 years prima facie satisfies the Iranian foundational rule of making the plaintiff whole.
But we have the same principle here in the United States in a tort action or any civil action. The principle is that if there's an injury, the court enters an award or a remedy that will make the plaintiff whole. But the plaintiff pays his or her own fees unless there's a statute that shifts them. So it's not intuitive that a principle that requires full compensation is inconsistent with each party bearing its own fees or fees being significantly less than they might be here.
Well, I think your question combines the two questions before the court. If the tariff is rejected as having not been proven to be part of Iranian law, and we think it has not been proven, then the question is, how was the district court to exercise its discretion, or more appropriately, has Iran proven that there was an abuse of discretion?
I'm still stuck on the ants on your first question. I don't see, you were arguing that applying the tariff is inconsistent with the principle of Iranian law that requires full compensation.
That's correct.
And I was simply saying that in the United States, we also require full compensation and award no fees, whereas at least in Iran, you do get some fees under the tariff. In other words, Iranian law is more generous than American law on this issue.
Most of the legal systems of the world are more generous than the United States on this legal issue of fees.
I'm just making the point that in our country, under our legal system, a principle of full compensation is not inconsistent with each party bearing its own fees.
Iranian law, which governs this action, provides that full compensation includes an award of attorney's fees and interest. Iran's expert conceded that. Iran's briefing...
And Iran's position is those fees are governed by the tariff.
And Iran fails to provide the court with any substantiation that the tariff is applicable to an action outside of Iran or to an action inside of Iran involving foreign counsel.
But we cannot assume the tariff. But the burden of proof here is on you, isn't it? Is on McKesson.
No. The burden of proof is on McKesson to establish the applicable law, and we did. Articles 515 and 519 of the Civil Procedure Code are the applicable law. Iran says, no, you have to look at this exception in another Article 518. Iran bears the burden of showing that Article 518 applies. It does not. There is no applicable tariff. We're talking about bar rules for local attorneys in a foreign country. Those bar rules have no application generally in Iranian law. If they did, the result that Iran advocates would violate the fundamental principles here. If an Iranian lawyer representing an Iranian client in Iran charges what is customary under the tariff, that's fine. That has to do with the local practice over there. But where American lawyers are representing an American client here, the foundational principle in the Civil Procedure Code and in Lazarar and Tasbih require the court to exercise its discretion to fully compensate not just for the tort, but for the cost of prosecuting the case. And Mr. Katirai's opinion goes into great detail to explain how that doctrine evolved in Iranian law. Iran's expert doesn't touch those issues. In fact, after Mr. Katyrai's second supplemental, they didn't put in a reply by Iran's expert. And that's been a pattern throughout this case. They put in the come to the company. When the court found that it was not credible to say that there is a law, Iran did not come back and say, oh, no, no, we've got the Supreme Court decision or some other authoritative basis for saying that, in fact, it is part of Iranian law. Same thing happened with the exclusive forum issue. And this court said, in the silence of Iranian law on whether there is or isn't an exclusive forum provision, we're going to look to the underlying purpose. And the underlying purpose of the treaty was to provide fair access to Americans to justice when there's been an expropriation. So too here. The underlying purpose of the fee statute under the Civil Procedure Code and of the underlying doctrines is to ensure that the aggrieved party recovers their reasonable attorney's fees. And that's what happened in this case. The fact that the district court used what is familiar here in terms of enhancement, for example, is not surprising. The court is not doing damages on damages. It's trying to come up with a fair way of deciding what is the appropriate fee. And our Supreme Court in Missouri versus Jenkins and this court in Copeland said that's the way a district court is supposed to determine what is a reasonable fee. So the fact that the district court grafted some procedural interpretations dictated by this court and the Supreme Court doesn't detract from the fact that the district court was carrying out the fundamental purpose of Iranian law, which is to compensate the aggrieved party.
All right. Any more questions? Judge Rogers?
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Does Mr. O'Donnell have any time? Okay.
And, Your Honor, I may not have been around when this case began, but I had been around long enough to know that I'm not going to take all 9 minutes. I just have a couple of things I'd like to clear up. One is on concessions. The court had asked Mr. Braben about what it understood our claim of concession to be. Let me be clear. We don't assert that they have ever conceded the tariff applies.
Okay.
What I'm saying
what
is that if the tariff applies, they don't contest the application. In other words, how you calculate the end of the tariff,
okay.
There's no dispute about that. We've laid it out. They didn't respond. They just denied that it does apply. Mr. Braben described to the court a concession in our brief. I didn't fully follow it, but I believe he said, in effect, that we had conceded the tariff did not apply unless the lawyers had complied with certain Iranian bar rules. I don't recognize that concession. That is not one we've made. The court, of course, has our briefs.
Well, what about his argument that this tariff only applies to, it's a bar rule, it only applies to Iranian lawyers?
Well, Your Honor, Iranian law governs here not because the Iranian rules of decision say, by the way, if you ever sue in America, they apply here too.
No, I understand that, but his argument is these tariffs only apply to Iranian lawyers. It's a bar rule, bar association.
The tariff, in fact, doesn't say that. The tariff doesn't say that. The statutory scheme doesn't say that. Even 518, which is about the high watermark of the legal authority they cite, doesn't have any limitation like that. I mean, their point is I'm not sure what the right word is, but they attempt to make much out of the failure of these provisions to say they apply in an unusual context like this. But none of the provisions say that, Your Honor.
Yeah. And what about his argument that you basically waived this whole thing, that you've just recently discovered 518 and the tariff?
Well, Your Honor, Dr. Sané's opinion with the tariff in it has been on the record below now for several years. There's certainly no issue of waiver here. The fee petitions that were granted by the district court, were applied to by the district court in 2007, 2010, 2011, and 12 were all held. They were all held, and they were argued again together after McKesson 6. And that was done at McKesson's request. McKesson specifically asked the district court to make a ruling on all of them together under Iranian law. We presented our arguments. They presented theirs. 2000 is in a slightly different posture. 2000 was Judge Flannery's original decision. That's the one that, as the court noted, has been up here on appeal the entire time. In 2000, Judge Flannery made his underlying merits decision not on Iranian law, but instead on the treaty as part of international law. And then when we got to fees, Judge Flannery, having already decided international law provides the rule of decision, the fee argument was also under international law. But as the Court noted, that's been up on appeal the entire time. So I don't think there's any potential basis for waiver here, Your Honors.
All right. You had some other points you wanted to make before I interrupted you?
No, Your Honor. Oh. That's it. I just want to clear up the concessions.
Well, one last point then.
Yes.
What about his argument that the burden of proof is now on you because you're the ones who raised 518?
Again, I think that's sort of circular. We're not the one with the side claiming fees. That's McKesson.
Yeah.
They have to claim under Iranian law. So under two different rules, the burden lies with McKesson. It lies with McKesson as the party seeking fees, and it lies with McKesson as the party that must show that Iranian law gives them fees. So the burden squarely lies over there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.